This is the Quality News Network. A wildfire is burning out of control in the middle of Los Angeles. Firefighters are battling a blaze in Griffith Park, a 4,000-acre area that includes the LA Zoo, the observatory, and scores of luxury homes. Hundreds have been evacuated. Winds, high temperatures, and a lack of rain are feeding the fire. 600 acres have been scorched. In Florida, unprecedented drought is contributing to 200 wildfires burning across the state. Fanned by wind, the largest fire in Georgia's history is racing across Florida's state border. In East Timor, the polls have closed in what international monitors say was a peaceful and honest presidential election, the first since the country won its independence from Indonesia 5 years ago. Candidates included the head of parliament and Nobel Peace Prize winner José Ramos Horta. In Nigeria, four American oil workers were seized by rebels today from a barge near Chevron's terminal. Yesterday, militants blew up three major oil pipelines. Nigeria provides 8% of the world's oil supply. It is also one of the poorest nations on earth. A truck bomb exploded this morning in the Kurdish region of northern Iraq. At least 14 people were killed, 80 were wounded. Vice President Dick Cheney added an unannounced visit to Baghdad today to his tour of the Middle East. Cheney is asking regional allies to help stabilize Iraq and minimize Iran's power. In Berlin, UN Security Council members meet today to discuss imposing additional sanctions against Iran, which again this morning announced it would not abandon its uranium enrichment program. Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice reminded council members President Bush has not ruled out military intervention. Afghan officials say NATO forces have killed at least 20 civilians, many of them women and children, in an airstrike last night in southern Afghanistan. A soldier in the U.S.-led NATO coalition was also killed. Last week, demonstrations were held throughout the country protesting civilian casualties in NATO raids against the Taliban. You're listening to the Quality News Network. Stay tuned. Science and Business next.
Terry's Lounge at the Cypress Inn in downtown Carmel invites you to a great evening of your favorite foods, beverages, and live music Thursday through Saturday featuring Dick Whittington and friends from 6 to 9:30. Terry's Lounge in the Cypress Inn features an appetizer-sized menu and our famous burger, salad, and fries. Afternoon tea, a great local tradition, is served from 1 to 4 p.m. daily by reservation. Sunday evenings are special as Richard Divnick entertains from 5 to 8 p.m. with classical renditions of pop, jazz, and classical music. Join the fun, food, and music at Terry's Lounge in the Cypress Inn, corner of Lincoln and 7th. In downtown Carmel.
Farmed fish, like hogs and chicken, have been fed food contaminated with the same poisonous chemicals that led to the recall of hundreds of brands of pet food. Federal health officials say the fish, poultry, and pork involved is, quote, probably, end quote, safe to eat. The Federal Reserve meets today and is expected to maintain current interest rates at 5.25%. The Fed hasn't raised rates for almost a year. The Walt Disney Company posted a 27% jump in quarterly profits, exceeding Wall Street expectations. Net income was $931 million on revenues topping $8 billion. The company credited foreign sales of television shows and advertising revenues from ESPN. A Senate committee has adopted a plan to increase vehicle fuel efficiency standards to 35 miles per gallon by 2020. Automakers here and abroad are opposing the move. Light sweet crude is trading at $62.45 a barrel. On Wall Street at this hour, the Dow Jones is down 15 points. NASDAQ down also 15. S&P 500 down 3. You can find more at our website, thequalitynewsnetwork.com. I'm Annabelle Lund.
This is a top to what we use on stage, but it's very, very special because if you can see,
yeah,
the numbers all go to 11. Look, right across the board.
Oh.
11,
oh,
11,
and most of
11,
the
and then
amps go up to 10.
Exactly.
Does that mean it's louder? Is it any louder?
Well, it's one louder, isn't it? It's not 10. You see, most blokes are going to be playing at 10. You're on 10 here, all the way up, all the way up,
yeah,
all the way up. You're on 10 on your guitar. Where can you go from there? Where?
I don't know.
Nowhere, exactly. What we do is, if we need that extra push over the cliff, you know what we do?
Put it up to
11. 11, exactly. One louder.
Why don't you just make 10 louder and make 10 be the top number and make that a little louder?
These go to 11.
Welcome to Conversation Radio's Lean, Mean, and Green Show. It's Boxed Up with John Fox, where we turn Conversation Radio into Conservation Radio. Boxed Up is brought to you by B1 Louder Productions of Sydney, Australia, and the Mid-Atlantic Regional Council of Carpenters. They're building the American dream every day. B1 Louder by ringing 877-443-2366. That's 877, the numeral 4, head on. And now, your host, the ranting, head-banging hippie, John Fox!
All righty then! Welcome aboard, everybody. Foxed up here for a Wednesday morning on the Head On Radio Network, and got a couple of very, very insane things to bring to you today. Oh, my word. But, I'm loving that story that was sent to me in the while I was taking care of Joe's show about Pelosi thinking about suing George W. Bush if he pulls a signing statement, little bit of stupidity on the appropriations bill. I think that's just brilliant. It's a beautiful thing. But anyway, all right. I'm torn between a couple of things on what to start with today, but I think I'm going to have to start with this one from Gawker.com, which is actually a kind of like a Manhattan gossip column. However, from time to time, and I shouldn't say from time to time, but mixed in there, there's some, some stuff that you might not catch in a lot of places. But you ready to gamble with insanity? Ready to invest in hell? Here you go. Here's your chance. They're going to start predicting. They're going to start trading uranium futures on the mercantile exchange. That's right. How much of this is going to so cloud the debate when it comes to to nuke power plants? I just the Gawker piece states, hedge fund managers, commodities fetishists, and dirty bomb fanboys take note. At 6 p.m. tomorrow, the New York Mercantile Exchange is set to offer for the first time ever a market for uranium futures. Forget diversification. What your portfolio needs is fission. An excerpt from the UPI says, uranium futures products traded on and off the exchange will be introduced on the CME Global and New York Mercantile Exchange Clearport platforms, ready to trade Monday. Utilities now buy fuel for their plants and contracts that guarantee supply, but not at a fixed price. The New York Mercantile Exchange project is intended to change that, said Jeff Combs, president of UX Consulting. He said it will add transparency to the global uranium contract market and development for a forward price curve. Ray in the chat room says, do you buy those based on their half-life? Very good, mate. This is nuts. This is just absolutely nuts. And, you know, we're having a massive debate about this in Australia at the moment. John Howard set up a task force all fronted by pro-nuke people. No Greens involved. No, you know, none of the regulatory bodies involved. None of that. And it's just, you know, it's a very one-sided thing. So now, I bet when this starts to happen, they're going to say, and look, we can make money. The average person can make money on nuke power, you see. You can invest in uranium futures. And, like, this whole futures thing drives me nuts. You know, I don't necessarily know if I understand it completely, but you're trading on prices that haven't been set yet, so it's like gambling. And, you know, it's just, the piece here says transparency or at least translucency is needed. You see, because uranium is one of those white-hot commodities out there, currently trading at $113 a pound, or 10 times the 1990s average. Go Team Capitalism. Yes, this is a very snarky website. But before you fetch Fat Man and Little Boy out of storage, there are some unfortunate externalities to deal with. Uranium data that market consultant TradeTech provided to StockInterview.com, which specializes in detailed uranium market news, show spot transactions are at the lowest year-to-date levels in a decade, dropping 65% in April. Plus, Finch notes there's a $28 spread between long-term and spot prices, and industry insiders tell them they're looking for real sentiment on prices, not the New York Mercantile Exchange price. And one big factor remains. The uranium sector isn't at a point to link the NYMEX futures contract to the physical material. This highlights the difference between trading a material used to make both electricity and bombs in, say, corn or soybeans, since a federal agency, the U.S. Nuclear Regulatory Commission, has to license a facility merely to store uranium. The writer here says, So setting aside the possibility of real sentiment, Trader Monthly readers are betting that uranium will keep on exploding. Ha ha ha. I don't know. This might be just too much volatility for me. When's the NYMEX finally going to cover the whole periodic table? Call me a wimp, but I'm a T-bill and argon man myself. Well written. Sometimes, you know, just kind of being snarky and smartass really puts the point across. And you can find that at Gawker.com, and there's links to all this stuff on today's show post, and there's links to the stuff that I did for Cup of Joe on Joe's blog at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. And when we come back, I've got a few things. The right is really stepping up attacks on green issues and green people because, well, they're scared. Because I think people are really starting to grab on to the fact that this environmental decline that we are in, it's no longer something that is going to happen one day. It's already happening. Look at California. You're having what we just had this past summer here. You're having bushfires like you've never seen before. And this is not a one-off. This is not just like a blip. This is the way it's going to be, and it's just going to continue to get worse. And it's not doomsday stuff. This is just looking at the science and also just observing what's been happening over just the last decade. If you've been paying attention to worldwide weather trends, you know that this is what is going on. and that global warming is real. But anyway, we're heading into our first break here on Foxed Up for a happy, happy hump day. And stick around, because we got heaps to do, and I've got a really cool track of the day for you. So stick around. You're on the Head On Radio Network, America's liberal voice. We'll be right back.
If they catch you smoking, they're bound to drop the dime. Insufferable, informal, crazy fools. Wait with their fingers crossed for you to break the rules.
The United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights are problem solvers. They accept any challenge and approach every project with the highest of competency and training. UBC has thousands of professionals who can be at your service, giving you the best in business anytime and every time. It's their job to provide manpower. They build partnerships based on respect and trust. They provide skilled, responsible millwrights and carpenters to meet the challenge of any project because they believe and what they're doing and are so very committed to getting each and every job done right. They include a clause in your contract that eliminates work slowdown and jurisdictional disputes because they believe that, as professionals, they can discuss and solve any problem while keeping your project on target on time. We'd like to take this opportunity to thank the men and women of the United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights for building the American dream and saving the American dream. Thank you.
This is a message from NoMoreVictims.org.
In the spirit of Mother's Day and its origin, you can help a child this year by donating to No More Victims as a gift to your mother this Mother's Day. No More Victims brings war-injured Iraqi children to the United States to receive the medical treatment they need. You will help bring Sally, who lost both of her legs in the war in Iraq.
My mother used to say all the time, I look after people's kids because one day I know somebody will look after my kids. I feed people's kids because I know somebody one day will feed my kids. That informs a lot of who I am as a mother. That I know that I'm not only parenting Mavis and Duncan, but I'm responsible for every child that comes through.
Honor your mother. Go to NoMoreVictims.org. Give today.
What's a conversation like on Head On with Bob Kincaid? This is what it's like.
Well, let's talk to our good friend Phil down in Daytona Beach, Florida. Hey, Phil, welcome to the program. Good to hear from you.
Thanks, Bob. Good to hear you, too. I want to remind people that the military take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. And when people say they're fighting for our freedom by defending the Constitution, which defines our freedoms and supposedly is there to protect them, that's what it really means. Not doing whatever this outrageous civilian leadership dictates that it does.
Head On with Bob Kincaid. Conversation at its finest. Weeknights, Monday through Friday, 6 to 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Only at Head On Radio Network and chat at headonradionetwork.com.
Up here for a Wednesday morning, and I had to wait for that big hit to come in. It felt like sacrilege to come in any sooner. I love that big D flat chord. It's just awesome. Anyway, one of the big issues that we deal with on when it comes to the environment is flying. One of the biggest abuses to the environment is air travel. And it's a contentious issue, to say the least. And, you know, it's one of the things that I am, you know, I'm very glad about my changing professions, because I don't fly like I used to. I mean, there was a time where, you know, in the matter of 4 weeks, I could do 12, 15 flights if I wasn't careful. And anyway, from the Independent, Green Group's dismayed as flights soar to record high. How is it that when petrol and all this other stuff is just so bloody expensive and everything else, that we continue to have cheaper air travel than we've ever had? I don't get it. I really don't understand how this happens. You know, do we subsidize the airlines that much? Is that the deal? But it says aviation growth is soaring to an all-time high, raising the prospect of a huge increase in the greenhouse gas emissions that cause global warming. For the first time, more than 2.5 million commercial flights will be made around the world in a single month, with 2.51 million scheduled for May, says the flight information company OAG. This beats the previous record of 2.49 million flights last August. The figure marks year-on-year global growth in flight numbers of 5%, which translates as an extra 114,000 flights and 17.7 million extra passenger seats compared with May last year. The growth rate, Green campaigners said yesterday, would considerably outstrip any improvements the airlines could make in engine fuel efficiency or traffic management to bring down emissions. Aviation is the fastest growing source of carbon dioxide, the principal greenhouse gas, and also the origin of other greenhouse gases, including nitrous oxide and water vapor. I think, you know, it's like vacation travel and whatnot. I seriously think that it has to be curtailed, and I really believe that we should be jacking up the prices with a carbon tax to the point where it becomes very difficult for people to afford. I just, you know, you want to go on vacation? Take the train. It's a lot better. And I know this sounds really hard, and I'm not saying that you shouldn't fly, but I think that the price should be expensive enough that at least your carbon is being offset. You know, mandatory carbon offset into the pricing. You know, how I reckon that would be a good place to start. You know, and they say here, flights to and from Russia are up by 16% since this time last year, while flight numbers to and from the two new EU member states, Romania and Bulgaria, are up by 14% and 10% respectively. Flights in and out of Britain are up by 7% over the year, an extra 8,000 trips, and an increase of 1.9 million or 10% in seat numbers. The increases are even more remarkable in the low-cost sector. Cheap flights to and from Spain are up 68% in a year, with seat numbers up by 77%, an increase of 2.5 million. Youch. Youch, youch, youch. Big youch. You know, and we seriously need to find a way to not consume like this. We gotta stop. Gotta stop. You know, the only flight that I want to take next is a flight from Australia back to the United States. That's it. I don't want to go off to Spain for a holiday. I mean, I'd love to go to Spain for a holiday, but I've gotten to the point that I could not justify these things. You know, a good friend of mine's out on tour with Nine Inch Nails here at the moment in Australia, and he and I were talking about it. You know, he's because, you know, he's pretty knowledgeable on a lot of things, and, you know, He even made the comment. He says, you know, I can't even think about what my personal carbon footprint will be this year, just due to the flights for doing gigs. And, you know, my former industry seriously has to wake up and clean up its act. And with that, I want to go to the track of the day. And friends of the horn know about young Jacob, who passed away recently. And I was listening to Bob tell a bit of the story, and I'm not intimately involved with any of this. However, you know, I hear a story that, you know, a baby has been deemed uninsurable. So, a little boy who has very special challenges in life is given no assistance because he can't afford it. And the hook from the Spearhead song came just flooding into my head. It's a crime to be broke in America. Now, the lyric goes into other subjects. It's probably not that close, but it was the hook that came to me. And I have been a big fan of Spearhead for a long time. Mr. Franti is just awesome. So off of the first album, Home, It's a Crime to be Broke in America. Roll it, Agnes.
Public defender can't remember. they blame it on the song. When someone kills a cop, what music did they listen to when they bombed a rock? Well, give me one example so I can take a sample. No need to play it backwards if you wanna hear the devil. Cause music's not the problem, it didn't cause a bombing. But maybe they should listen to the song of people.
Sweetie, I love you, but those jeans have got to go.
Yeah, I know. Grab me a pair next time you go to the store, would you?
No.
Huh?
I'm not going there anymore. I can't stand it.
What do you mean?
It's just awful, honey. The only smile in that building is that big yellow face. Everybody else looks miserable, and I can't find anything there that's made in our country. That bothers me.
Well, nobody makes clothes in America anymore.
Au contraire, mi amigo. There's a ton of American-made clothing at No Sweat.
Well, where's this No Sweat store? Out at the mall?
No, silly. I found them at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. There's a link there. I already ordered some great workout gear, and I also got you some new jeans. They'll be here in a couple of days. Surprise.
HeadOnRadioNetwork.com?
Uh-huh. Just click on the No Sweat banner. You're right there. Helps union workers and helps support America's other liberal network. Cool, huh?
I knew listening to the horn was a good idea.
Whose idea?
Your idea, dear. All the good ones are.
Union made? No sweat. Great prices? No sweat. Great looks? No sweat. No sweat at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. Click the banner. Do the right thing.
There's one place on the web you can go that's so topical, you can apply it liberally. WD40.com. WBYAD40.com. Claude, Wally, and Doofy are there. They're working hard every day to give you updates in news, politics, and a great sense of humor. Just stop on by and see the boys at WD40.com, a place where you can raise your voice and be heard. WD40.com, your one-stop shop for all things progressive.
Recently on the Guy James Show on the Head On Radio Network.
If you have tuned into this program by mistake right now, and you are a Republican, a right-wing Republican specifically, before this program is over, I do want to warn you, you're going to think that I'm the devil. You're going to think I've got horns and a red cape because I hate the Bush administration and everything they stand for. So be warned right away, okay? You're all warned right now that that's where we're coming from today.
Don't miss Guy James, weekdays, 3 to 5 Eastern Time, on the Head On Radio Network.
Polar bears live in the Arctic, on the ice.
But the ice is melting because of global warming.
Some polar bears have to swim so far they drown. Baby bears have died.
When I'm old, when I'm 45, all the bears could be gone.
Grown-ups should do something.
If you're a grown-up, go to polarbearsos.org now. You can make sure polar bears are protected under the Endangered Species Act.
Please help them.
Alright, everybody, welcome back to Foxed Up here on the Head On Radio Network. And I love when I'm proved right without even having to check.
By the way, I hope you enjoyed that Spearhead track. It's a groovy one, that, and you know, it just doesn't apply to, you know, black people or Asians or whatever. It's just kind of, if you're outside of the mainstream or the wealthy and the white, you know, if you don't have money, you just kind of are second class citizen, if not a criminal. It's just nuts. But Channel 4 in the UK aired a documentary, I think it's about a month, 6 weeks ago, called The Great Global Warming Swindle. And I had people sending me links where I could stream this thing, and I got sent some notes saying, you know, you and your program are full of it, and see, this proves that you're all out to scare people, and you just don't like business, and you just don't like, you know, capitalism and all this. Well, actually, if you want to get right down to it, I don't like capitalism, because it's a domination process, as far as I'm concerned. It has nothing to do with having a fair go, and it has nothing to do with a society that is fair. It has to do with conquering others, and I just don't dig that. But anyway, comes out via The Independent. Channel 4 accused of falsifying data in documentary on climate change. And I knew I didn't have to watch this damn thing. I knew it. Just by, you know, some of the right-wing blogs and whatnot writing about this, saying, you know, see, Al Gore is a terrorist and all this other stuff. He's full of it, and all this other crap. Well, you know what? Sorry. You all just look for stuff that supports your nonsense, and you'll get all behind it. And says here, it says, the makers of a Channel 4 documentary which claimed that global warming is a swindle have been accused of fabricating data by one of the scientists who participated in the film. The Great Global Warming Swindle was broadcast on the 8th of March and has been criticized by leading scientists for errors, distortions, and misrepresentations. The film has also been referred to the regulatory watchdog Ofcom, which is considering a complaint from 37 senior scientists that the program breached the broadcasting code on the misrepresentation of views and facts. Now, even a climate skeptic whose dissenting views were used in the were used by the filmmakers to bolster their claim about the lies and swindles of global warming has accused the documentary of promulgating falsehoods. Agil Friis Christensen, director of the Danish National Space Center, has issued a statement accusing the filmmakers of fabricating data based on his work looking at the links between solar activity and global temperatures. And they were so bad, they even misrepresented someone who was on their side. Dr. Friis Christensen said that a graph he had produced some years ago showed the link between fluctuations in global temperatures and changes in solar activity, sunspot cycles over the past 400 years, had been doctored. The documentary used the graph to pour scorn on the idea that global warming in recent decades is the result of man-made emissions of carbon dioxide. Solar activity, the program stated, is the cause of global warming in the late 20th century. Right. We have reason to believe that parts of the graph were made up of fabricated data that were presented as genuine. The inclusion of the artificial data is both misleading and pointless. So the guy who actually was responsible for it, or the concept. Secondly, although the commentary during the presentation of the graph is consistent with the conclusions of the paper from which the figure originates, it incorrectly rules out a contribution by anthropogenic, meaning man-made, greenhouse gases to 20th century global warming, he said. Dr. Christensen, a physicist, believes that solar cycles play an important role in climate change, and that not enough effort has gone into addressing the theory. The fabricated data did not, he said, make any difference to the overall view he takes, but he is still critical of the way the film handled the scientific evidence. Asked by The Independent whether the documentary was scientifically accurate, Dr. Christensen said, no, I think several points were not explained in a way that I, as a scientist, would have explained them. It's obvious it's not accurate. The Channel 4 program also used out-of-date solar cycle data relating to the past 30 or 40 years, which made it appear as if temperatures and solar activity were rising together, when in fact solar activity has leveled off for the past few decades. After 1985, we don't see any rise or shortening of the solar cycles compared to what we saw in the temperature record, Mr. Christensen said. He continues, it continues saying, Christensen is the second scientist to appear on the program who has criticized the way the film was made. Professor Carl Wunsch of the Massachusetts Institute of Technology said the way that his interview was edited gave the misleading impression that he was not concerned about rising levels of carbon dioxide, a diametrically opposite view to his stated position. Martin Durkin, who also wrote and directed the program, was unavailable for comment, funny that, but admitted in an email that to Mr. Rive that the graph was wrong. Thank you for highlighting the error on the 400-year graph. It is an annoying mistake which all of us missed and is being fixed for all future transmissions of the film. It doesn't alter our argument. Oh, really? One of the things you based it on, that you falsified, doesn't actually make any difference, huh? That's called cherry picking. However, the graph and its fabricated data will still be included in the DVD of the program, which went on sale yesterday. The advertising for the DVD says, everything you've ever been told about global warming is probably untrue. This film blows the whistle on the biggest swindle in modern history. Now, the biggest swindle in modern history has been the fact that we've been playing denial on this issue for decades. And people have been swindled into the idea that it's either the economy or the environment. No, it's both. And that all us greenies, we just want to take away your way of life. No, we don't. But we're trying to save ours. We're trying to save all of ours. Because there ain't going to be no way of life when there ain't no life left. I would think having to go toe-to-toe with some of these people, you'd have to almost you'd either be forced to resort or accidentally resort to speaking to them as though they're children. Let's see. The piece ends, it says, so serious and fundamental are the misrepresentations that the distribution of the DVD without the removal amounts to nothing more than an exercise in misleading the public. Bingo. Bingo. Right on the head. Absolutely right on the head. And I saw so many posts. YouTube had people with clips, you know, and it was all these just absolute nut jobbers going, see, look, you know, and it's that idea that, you know, 99% of scientists agree on the science, and then you have these couple of others that don't, and they want to make and they try to portray it as though, you know, it's like a 50-50 kind of thing going on either side of the discussion. No, we're talking 99-1, okay? 99-1. And I think that 1% is just absolutely beginning to fall apart, and so they scream louder and louder and louder and louder, which I've got something on all that screaming when we come back. So we're going to take our final break here for this Wednesday morning on Foxed Up here on the Head On Radio Network. So stick around. We'll be right back.
Mother, please forgive me, for they know not why. Potter has given us all a unique glimpse at education the way it ought to be. Never once do Harry and his Hogwarts friends talk about skipping class, ducking tough instructors, waiving requirements, or shirking responsibilities. That perspective, be practical, get it the easiest, fastest, cheapest way you can, is what J.K. Rowling terms the muggle approach to education. We're Concord University, and do we have a deal for you? At Concord, education's different than anywhere else around. There's a reason that Concord students get the best jobs, are sought out by the best medical, graduate, and law schools in the land. It's no wonder that Concord has been cited by U.S. News & World Report and by the Wall Street Journal. Where do I sign up? At Southern West Virginia's version of Track 9 and 3 Quarters, all you have to do is believe, and believe in yourself. Concord University, an education you can put to work. 1-888-384-5249.
As I understand the conflict right now between the president's bill and the one supported by the Democrats, John McCain and Lindsey Graham, is that John McCain and Lindsey Graham and the Democrats say that the bill, the standards we use, should be the standards that are the same as the treaty we signed, the Geneva Convention signed after World War II that every civilized nation follows. And the president is saying, that restricts me too much. That's too humane. I want to be able to do other things. I won't say what they are, but sources tell us that things like waterboarding, you know, drowning people, putting them in 50-degree weather. And the question, I think, is should we hold the United States to the same standards that England holds itself to, that Canada holds itself to, that other civilized nations hold themselves to?
Get the view from inside the Beltway with Mark Levine on the Radio Inside Scoop. Right here, 2 to 3 p.m. weekdays on the Head On Radio Network.
Today, all Americans are feeling the pinch of high energy prices. And this winter, the cost of heating your home could account for nearly half of your energy bill. I'm Energy Secretary Sam Bodman. The steps you can take to save money and make your home more energy efficient. First, give your home furnace or heat pump a checkup to ensure it's running as efficiently as possible. Proper installation in attic, ceilings, floors, crawl spaces, and exterior and basement walls can save 30% on your home energy bill. And insulate the heating ducts, even in unheated areas of your house. Finally, installing a programmable thermostat will ensure you don't pay for energy you aren't using. Program the thermostat down to 65 degrees for 8 hours a day to reduce your heating bill by up to 10%. You have the power to make a difference. You can reduce your home energy bills and help our nation reduce its energy use.
For more energy efficiency tips, please visit our website at www.doe.gov or call toll-free 1-877-337-3463. This powerful savings message is provided by the U.S. Department of Energy and the Alliance to Save Energy.
All right, everybody, welcome back to Fox Up here for a Wednesday, and we're getting down to the end of things. I was just about to go on to this really, really great piece on Groovy Green. However, I did just get an email from a good friend, Lottie, and reminding me about this thing with Chevron settling its case on the Oil for Food program. And the thing that I need to remind everyone about that is you've heard me speak at great length about the Australian Wheat Board having put $300 million into Saddam's coffers to get Australian wheat into Iraq pre-war. So is this how it worked? Chevron bought the oil, which then bought the food, and both sides are funneling money to Saddam in kickbacks. And yet none of these people knew? No one knew? Please. You know, we had this single desk wheat trading system, you know, outfit here. You're telling me that none of these people knew? Please. You got to be kidding. You got to be kidding. It's beyond the pale to actually, you know, even think that you can snow people with this. But yet Johnny Howard's done a good job of it here, and somehow he's been able to not be held accountable for any of it. However, before we go, I got to read you this great little piece from Groovy Green.
right steps up attacks on celebrity environmental activists. And it says, you know, the anti-liberal crowd is frightened when every single cheap shot opportunity is taken. Not surprisingly, they're stepping up the attacks on the environmental front in significant numbers. One blog worth reading for this angle is Planet Gore. And here's the thing. I like the site. I enjoy the perspective of writers from the other side, simply because I believe it's important to understand where they're coming from. I don't agree with most of what they write about, but I don't disrespect their opinion either. That being said, there's plenty of mudslinging and cry-me-a-river talk to make me want to send them towels and tissues. Writer Jim Manzi has apparently been beaten up by Lori David on several occasions. That, or she's eaten his children, pissed on their clothing, and mentally abused him. The guy is so offended by her comments on global warming that he can't take it anymore. In a recent post, Manzi took David to task over her carbon footprint, criticizing her for light green tactics and calling her a hypocrite. Here's the thing, Jim. I'm pretty sure everyone knows that celebrities just like you and me are hypocrites. If you partake in the modern world, no matter how green you appear, you're still making an impact somewhere. David isn't telling people to sell off their homes and live in yurts. She's attempting to spread a message of practical environmentalism, small steps that people can take not only to save energy but also save money. If her message makes even a small impact on people, it would mean huge savings in energy consumption. And this is the bit that I completely agree with. I think conservatives are having issues with the environmental movement, because instead of making people feel guilty, we're starting to see a transition of making people feel empowered. This is making them uneasy because empowered people push for change. And what are these changes? Harder regulations on emissions, more efficient vehicles, less consumption of energy, alternative sources of fuel, sustainable urban developments, less reliance on foreign resources, healthier homes, etc. If this sounds like a bunch of bullshit to Manzi, then his definition of progress must embrace business as usual. Unfortunately, the very thing that environmentalists have wanted for so many years, to make the earth a talking point during elections, is bringing out the bad with the good. Debate, discussion, point, counterpoint. These are all important and valuable aspects of any good society. It's immature, however, to brand the efforts of people pushing real changes that can make a difference on so many fronts as wacky and foolish. But hey, as Planet Gore proves time and time again, whining is a powerful asset, especially if you've got the world's smallest violin in your pocket. I love it. I love it. Beautiful bit of writing. Beautiful. And, you know, and I think that is such a crucial comment. People are starting to feel empowered by the simple fact that the environment is really becoming a crucial issue on people's minds. You know, and I mean, I do plenty of professing about how green I am, but I don't actually claim to be a person who leaves no impact. It's virtually impossible. You know, it's virtually impossible to be, you know, like, absolutely, perfectly green. You know, just living in a modern house in any modern city. You know, I run 3 computers here. However, since I got my laptop, I'm using primarily that for a whole bunch of reasons, but one of them being the fact that I know that it uses considerably less energy than my tower. You know, again, simple things. You know, and we've even taken it further than most people. You know, 100% renewable energy bought through the power company. You know, our hand crank clothes washer. It's still my favorite thing that we've done. And my next thing, Gail and I went shopping over the weekend for supplies to build a raised veggie bed in our backyard. And one of the things that I've been dying to get was a weed whacker. I haven't had a weed whacker. And so I got me a weed whacker. And right next to the weed whackers, in the selection of gas-powered lawnmowers, and this surprised me, were three different models of manual rotary lawnmowers. You know, the old kind with the spinning, back spinning blades with the catchers on them, starting at $70 Australian. And I'm thinking to myself, wow, that's cheap. And I was checking them out, and they're just, you know, smooth. And I've made a decision. By the time I run out of the petrol that I've already bought for our lawnmower, as before that's used up, which I've got like one or two more goes left, I am buying one of those. Because again, it's another step. Why do I have to be pumping out fumes to mow my small little yard? I don't see that it's going to take me any longer than it does now. It's not that big. Yards aren't that big in Sydney. You know, so, and I know that I take it further than a lot of people do, but it's kind of, it's my passion. I do this program. I feel that I have to lead by example. And if, you know, I don't expect everyone to do the things that we have done. Not all of them, but just pick up one or two. And maybe, and you know, and you all got to throw stuff back at me what you're doing, because the more that you tell people about the things that you've done and the money that you've saved, I mean, this is where it's all win-win. I just don't see where there can be any argument. But anyway, we're running out of time, folks, coming up to the end of the day. So I want to thank Agnes Kincaid for producing today's program. You rock. Thank you to Peter Godbold for everything that he does for us. The mods, the bloggers, the carpenters, everybody. You all rock. And remember, as we say here on Foxed Up, be good, be green. We'll catch you tomorrow.
Tell you that sometimes it's easier to desire and pursue the attention and admiration of 100 strangers than it is to accept the love and loyalty of those closest to me. And I would tell you that sometimes I prefer to look at myself through someone else's eyes. Eyes that aren't clouded with the tears of knowing what an asshole I can be. I would stop thinking about music and politics. I might be able to listen in silence to your concerns, rather than hearing everything as an accusation or an indictment against me. And I would tell you that sometimes I use sex to avoid communication. It's the best escape when we're down on our luck. But I can express more emotions than laughter, anger, and let's f***. If ever I would stop thinking about music and politics, if ever I would stop thinking about music and politics, if ever I would stop thinking about music and politics, if ever I would stop thinking about music and politics. If ever I would stop thinking about music and politics, I would tell you that I pooped in my own dog dish. And sometimes I would rather face not eating than face licking it clean and admitting when I'm selfish. And I tell you that I'm suffering from the worst type of loneliness, the loneliness of being misunderstood. The loneliness of being afraid to allow myself to be understood. Music and politics,
If ever I would stop thinking about music and politics. If ever I would stop thinking about music and politics. If ever I would stop thinking about music and politics.
If ever I would stop thinking about music and politics.
You're listening to The Horn, the head-on radio network.
Kucinich reveals the secrets behind the Democratic funding bill. Newsweek shows Bush approval it hits all-time low of 28%. 2008 race sharpens Bush-Congress showdown. China and Russia deny weapons breach. House memo targets Rove's emails. Clinton pulls ahead of Obama in the latest poll. Deployment orders announced for 10 more U.S. combat brigades. Congressman invokes Klan wizard in pro-war floor speech. Congress members sponsor bill to shutter Guantanamo Bay. Report shows Chevron settling Iraq oil probe dating back to Condi Rice's tenure on its board. Giuliani campaign misreported primary fund donation. Oberman says minority voting suppressed by Justice Department. GOP 2008 race includes Honky McGee, Pasty Face Jones, and Mr. Pickles jokes John Stewart. Will racist role hurt potential 2008 candidate Thompson? Gore back